In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I begin my ninth year here, dear faithful, I am mindful of the fact that I have preached you on this Sunday many times. I have also given retreat conferences on the theme of this Sunday. It is one of my favorite ones to preach on, but I have it in mind that for you, I have spoken to you many times about the same thing. That is about how today's parable of the Good Samaritan expounds for us the doctrine of grace as it is understood by the Holy Catholic Church. Today, I wish to speak to you in a different manner about this parable of our Lord's, which is of such supreme importance for our spiritual life. I have spoken to you, I say, on several occasions about the doctrine of grace which we find here, that in fact, each of us is that man who falls among robbers, our first father Adam, and then all of his descendants. We have been despoiled of the goods which God gave us. It is Christ, the Good Samaritan, who has come and filled us with his grace by the sacraments and began the great healing process by placing us in the inn, that is, in the church, under the care of the innkeeper, the hierarchy, the holy priesthood. If, however, we have all received the grace of Christ, we should in turn be applying to our own lives the moral lesson of today's parable, which I hope is plain to all. If we have received the grace of Christ, we should then, by the grace of Christ, be Christians and heal others. To us are spoken the words of our Lord today, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see." Many before us longed to have the truth so clearly expounded to them, but did not receive the same graces we, as Catholics, have received. If I have spoken to you about the Catholic doctrine which we find in this parable of our Lord's, it is because I have always had in mind the truth which we find in the great Athanasian Creed. Before all things, what is necessary for us is to hold the Catholic faith entirely. For if any of us desires to be saved, that is the first thing we must do. Keep the entire Catholic faith and be free from all heresy. After that, however, we cannot dare to suppose that we will be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven if we are in no way mindful of the moral lesson which we find today. That same Lord and Savior, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who is true God and true man, and through the Holy Ghost who has taught us all truth, is that same Lord and Savior who says to us, "Unless your righteousness abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." And as essential as it is to belong to the one true church and hold the entire Catholic faith, the image of the Last Judgment, which is presented to us in the Gospel, is that of our Lord saying to the righteous, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, for you gave me food when I was hungry, drink when I was thirsty, visited me," and so on. "For in all these things, when you did them to the least of my brethren, you did them to me." We cannot have any doubt that we, Catholics especially, who have received the fullness of truth, will be judged with special rigor in the degree to which we have applied the law of Christ, which we hear today, which sums up all of the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. In today's bulletin, I've put for you there the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. I think it is fair to say that most of us do not know them by heart. Today is a good day to start with this. I hope that you do take the time to reflect on them more today. And so I would begin then by saying to you, do not think that if I'm speaking to you about the Good Samaritan and using this parable to remind you of the importance of practicing the works of mercy, do not think, I say, for a minute that this is a sermon only to rich people. And that if you are not rich, you may safely disregard anything else that I have to say to you today. We all know that there are rich people who abound in generosity and are a model of detachment from earthly things, while there are poor people who are so only in name and not, as our Lord exhorts us all to be, poor in spirit, who cling greedily to all the worldly things they can get their hands on. No, a sermon on the corporal and spiritual works of mercy is not an exhortation for you to write out checks. You do not need a penny to your name in order to care for others, in order to show works of mercy. We must have both of these things. That is why the superiors of the Institute took for our motto something which was not of their own devising, but words that come from Holy Writ. Veritatem facigentes in caritate, furthering the truth in charity. For those who are outside the fold, those who are just as much in need of the Catholic truth as we are for our salvation, we must remember that there is no greater scandal than to see Catholics who fail to practice charity. For all those who regard us from outside the fold, to see us failing to show mercy to others, we become all, as the Apostle says, sounding gongs, tinkling cymbals. If we do not have charity, the truths we have learned and the truths we might dare to proclaim to others are nothing and profit us nothing. One piece of good news is that we can follow the exhortation of the Apostle that we may begin practicing works of mercy right here in the household of the faith. For that is where he says we must begin. We must do good to all men, but we can begin right here to those who are right next to us in the pew. Our Lord warns us of something which seems so easy, and yet something in which we fail so often. If you greet your friends and brethren only, what reward have you in heaven? This is a very little thing in which to be faithful, but that is why I remind you from time to time how important it is to speak to others after Mass besides your friends and family. You may be thinking at this point, this is all well and good, and I am glad this is being said from the pulpit, but I'm actually one of the victims here. I'm one of those people who has been snubbed by my fellow Catholics a dozen times, for whom nobody has cared in my time of need. Well, to you I say, too bad. Overcome evil with good. Set an example then. Teach those who have not been as merciful as you think they should be. Set the example of charity and mercy among your fellow Catholics. Let us all then, as we begin this year together in the faith, make our examination of conscience. I know you all do this with your catechism or some other guide before you go to confession. Let's start today by examining the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. If you find that you are a stranger to them, now is the time, before the time of judgment, to amend your life. Begin to see Christ in your fellow men. Let not your lack of charity be a cause of scandal that keeps others away from the truth, which alone can save. This is what we must all do if we ever hope to hear those words from our judge. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As much as you did these things to the least of my brethren, you did them to me. Amen.